Let's assemble ourselves for the study and worship. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of this prayer is not a ritual prayer. It's a very important prayer. Test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher, empowering even the worship of God to be acceptable to God. Must worship in spirit and in truth. So let's begin with the word of prayer for our morning of worship together. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the local assembly. How grateful we are for our assembly. It's humble. But Heavenly Father, you have given us so many wonderful opportunities to serve you. The internet, our young people, missionaries, and right here in our own assembly, Father, we're just so thankful for all that the opportunities that you give us. And Father, we just pray that this morning will be an acceptable morning of worship of you and of your Son in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're getting ready to study the book of Colossians. We started it really, in effect, 2 weeks ago. But this morning we'll get into it. And the thing about Colossians, it is the most Christological book in the Bible. It is the most Christ-centered of all the books in the New Testament. It is about Jesus Christ. So let's begin this morning with
yeah.
Brian. Thank you, Wes. All right, several things I need to cover this morning. I want to start off with Eve, one of our wonderful regulars here. Eve's husband went on to be with the Lord Friday night. The funeral service is Monday morning. That's tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. If you're at all interested, it will be at St. Rita. That's a Catholic church. Her husband was Roman Catholic. On Inwood, between Forest and 635. The reception will be right next door. And whether or not you come and support and encourage Eve there, that's the only reason I'm be going. But please be in prayer for Eve. We've missed her in our service as she's been through the last several months with her husband. And we just miss her being here. So it'll be wonderful having Eve back. Yes.
Will it be in the main auditorium?
Of the St. Rita's Church, yes. Yep. So as I understand, I don't know how big this thing is or what it is. Is it monstrous? Yeah, okay. All right. So it's pretty big. Yes.
One of the things, he was a coach at Jesuit. So I think even the stadium is named after him. So I'm sure it will be a large turnout.
Will the Pope make him a saint? So please.
We sent food over for probably Friday and Saturday. Anyone feels led and they want to bring something tonight, I think there will be a reception. The church will probably do the reception.
Yeah.
If anyone feels led for take something on tonight,
that'd be wonderful. Okay, let's talk about things that we want to be in prayer regard. Always please remember to be in prayer for Thomas. He's going through some lung problems right now, so please be in prayer for Thomas and his parents. Any other prayer requests that we have? My grandson, and if you've read the email, he's 13 years old. He was hit in the jaw with a baseball bat and went into the hospital. And what they did, they went in and they restructured everything, but they didn't have to cut. They didn't have to go in and do any kind of surgical work like that, but they wired everything shut so he has to get any kind of food by a straw. And I told him, hey, I believe if you're suffering, I suffer. If you drink a malt, I got to drink a malt. If you drink a milkshake, I got to drink a milkshake. And please be in prayer for young Dalton. That's a tough deal for a 13-year-old. Can't talk back to his mom or can't talk to anybody. So please be in prayer for Dalton. And he's doing fine. He back the other night, I guess it was Saturday night, he just was so bored of sitting at home and all. He had a friend take him to Bronze and got him a chocolate milkshake. And so please be in prayer for Dalton and his family, and his jaw will heal. The doctor said it'll be at least 4 weeks. It could be up to 6 weeks. So let's pray for 4 weeks if that can reach that point. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Well, not a prayer request, just a suggestion. I had a friend who had that situation, you know, get his jaw wired shut. And eventually she wanted McDonald's hamburger so bad, she
grind
the whole
thing. Yeah. All right. did you have one?
I do. I have two things. One is just prayer request for camp. And I think Chris announced that camp was full. We have a waiting list already. Wow. We were able to find some other beds that are available depending on boys, girls, different age groups. So right now we officially have, I think, 115.
Whoa, 100 is our limit. We got 115.
Stop at 100 so we can really look at where they were sleeping and who they are. You know, just different groups are equal. But we have 115 and we have, I don't know, maybe 6 on the wait list already. And, of course, we would love every kid that wants to be at camp to be at camp. So please be in prayer for camp as we're preparing, and for the staff One of our big fundraisers coming up is the Liberty Diner, Herman.
Okay,
Liberty
good,
Diner.
I'll be there.
May 14th, Larry asked me to just announce that. She has sign-up sheets that we printed out, and they're in the back. It's May 14th, Saturday. There's a 5 o'clock seating and a 6:15 seating. So if you already know which one you want to go ahead and put your name down today, that would help us as we start filling those up to have a diner. And you'll have a...
If we know you can't be there...
Crick of now, right? All right.
Heather, yes, we will accept any.
Always.
Bring your family. But the kids will be performing. They'll be doing a Christmas song, kind of. Right before dessert, when you're eating, there'll be barbecue with all the things and stuff we've done before, and there'll be a live house. So.
If we want to go
in
the Campbell,
Spring Valley Bible Church Youth Ministry, and that's what it's tagged as. So if you put that on your check or whatever, that will go to our youth ministry.
It's got to be SVBC-YM.
SVBC-YM.
Yeah.
So, and then I have one more thing, Herman. And I don't know if y'all talked about this with Terry and Fassel last week. Saw that. Did you bring it up? So Phil did. I don't know if everyone knows, but their ministry team of 4 men that's going around, leaving around the surrounding area. They passed out like 800 Bibles, I think, in the past few weeks. And they were attacked. They were robbed.
Oh, wow.
One of them was beaten pretty severely. I have to think Fassel was one of those 4, but Terry didn't say for sure. She said, thank you for the prayers, because the miracle is they let them live, because a lot of times when these attacks, they don't. But they're right back out there delivering Bibles, and I know y'all are praying for Carrie and Castle all the time, but that's a real personal connection that our youth have, that we have, but our youth have with them, because Castle and Carrie come to camp every summer now. They commit to come, and they tell those kids about, that's the only direct connection our kids have to people that are going out sharing the gospel with direct danger to their own personal life every day. And so just if y'all would be in prayer, they're back out talking about Bibles and have their church going and their 316 North and something like that. Did you have something to add to that, Phil?
Sometimes I wish we had more people, but other times I just thank the Lord for the silent impact that we're not aware of. And our young people, missionaries, and outreach, they like the internet. In fact, we got a letter from Giordano and New Jersey, and he just said, thank you very much for the great biblical lessons online. And Jim didn't know him. I don't know him. So let's be in prayer for Tony and or Giordano, and let's pray that he will continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ from the internet. And did you have something you wanted to add?
So I just wanted to add one thing. So we had the Big Slam thing last week or a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to make sure that, just to reinforce that, one of the things that we're seeing is more and more churches are actually wanting to get involved with the youth ministry. So we had you guys know, if you went to camp last year, Richard Vaughn did the kitchen for us, and Richard is in a big Presbyterian church over in McKinney. And he's actually went to the Presbyterian church and said, hey, we need to get involved with these folks. They kind of went like that, and I kind of went, okay, let me talk to Herman. But there's another church, a Bible church out in Nevada area, that one of the ladies came and is good friends with Lori, Debbie O'Neill, if you all went to Slam Camp. And their church is sending kids to our camp. And then there's another church that's out there that they're affiliated that are sending kids to our camp. We have Southwood Bible Church up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have folks that are coming back to be part of the staff. In fact, if you guys know Shana and Barry, they are a married couple now, and now they're coming back and wanting to be a part of camp again this year. So we don't see it all, but the impact that this congregation is having, not only on kids, but on other churches and teaching the truth, is pretty awesome. So I just wanted to keep encouraging y'all to be a part of praying for our youth ministry.
Let me tell you something, people. What I love about the youth camp here, as opposed to some of the others that I'm aware of, Bible teaching. These kids are nearly through up the day. They're in studying the Bible and learning the Bible and fellowship and fun and some fun that some of the girls don't like. Are y'all going to do the mud thing again this year?
We'll do something, buddy.
All right. We'll do something, buddy. And so please be in prayer for the our youth outreach in every area, every way, the homes, the two homes that meet during the week, and then getting ready for camp this year. And do we want to pray that next year we find a place that can take 400?
We want to pray that we go where God wants us to go.
Very good. Very good. One up the preacher. Very good.
Manage an expectation.
Very good. Very good. So, you've heard from the director how he wants you to pray. Wherever God wants us to be next year. So, please be in prayer for that. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Update on James, the young man from China that is a missionary that has been here for over a year with stage 4 cancer. The long involved story that the doctors keep saying, you shouldn't be alive, you shouldn't be alive, you're going to die, you're going to die. And they just keep saying it's in God's hands. He's undergoing the treatment right now, which the doctor said, well, this is totally experimental. I really don't think it's going to work. You need to get your affairs in order. It's working. And it
So why do you want us to pray?
James and his wife are hoping to take their 3 children back to China this summer once he recovers from the effects of the chemo and because the kids have not been back to where they were born.
So you want us to pray, one, he recovers, and two, he has the strength to go back to China.
Yes.
Okay. I want to know how you wanted us to pray. You know, doctors have their time. God has his. James tells me every week, I'm going to die this week. God says, no, you're not, James. No, you're not. And
he's referring to me. And Herman, I wanted you to mention Lane Torres.
Torres is my nephew. Yes, I got up here. All right. He was just mentioning Lane Torres, his nephew. He's about 43, and he suffered a heart attack, cardiac arrest. He is now not regained consciousness, remains in a coma, and they took his temperature down to 91 and are slowly trying to raise it up to save his life. So please be in prayer for Lane Torres and James's sister and the whole family. And they're in Florida. His sister's not. She flew down to Florida to be with her son. So please be in prayer for the family of Lane Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S.
I have a nephew who decided to quit the police department and become a Presbyterian. I pray for him.
Is that wonderful or is that...
I have no clue.
No clue. All right. Okay, the next thing... Any other prayer requests? Okay. I have no internet service. I have no landline phone. And I will not have, according to Frontier, at the earliest will be Thursday. And so if you've tried to either call me or leave an email message, I've not seen it. And chances I would see it anyway, but there's no chance. There's no chance of my seeing it now. I'm paying, but getting nothing for it. So, if you want to get me, my cell phone is 214-436-3858, and I do try to answer that. Yes?
I've called you 10 times since noon yesterday, and if Judith answers and says, you leave a message.
Okay. What happened was, Friday night, I didn't plug it in, and it was dead all day Saturday. I plugged it in last night, so it's alive. So that number is 214-436-3858. Like I didn't learn about Eve's husband until the next morning, and she said she sent me an email that night, but my email was out. And if you've read the paper, Frontier is having a wonderful time around three or four states, and so that's where I am. I'm caught in their jam. Okay. This week, not only did my email go out, but I saw further proof of the movement of our country, not only away from the Bible, but away from the teaching and the understanding of our founding fathers. They're taking the pictures off of our $5, $10, $20 bills and putting on some other people. People, in my opinion, they should take off "In God We Trust." Our children are not allowed to pray to him in public, not allowed to pray to him in public athletic things. So why are we hypocrites? Take it off. Take off "In God We Trust." Put on there "In Man We Trust" if you want to leave something. But I think they should take off "In God We Trust." They want to put somebody's picture on. I think they should put Patrick Henry's picture on a $20 bill. He's a great patriot and a profound Christian. If you ever want to read just some sound doctrine from that time era, Patrick Henry was a dispensationalist and just an unbelievable believer in Jesus Christ. And I pray, and I mean this every time I sit at my desk and study Colossians, I pray that before we finish Colossians, that some of you will be disturbed by, will not be disturbed by politics, the gross immorality of our society, and will just live a quiet life centered around Jesus Christ. The quiet life from our study in 1 Thessalonians and around Jesus Christ and our study in Colossians. It is saturated with learning about Jesus Christ. Then on top of all of that, this week, I didn't know this person at all, but someone named Prince died, and the Dallas Morning News gave him two or three full pages. I'd like to know how much money a full page is in the front section of the Dallas Morning News. He's a hero of our young people and others of his generation. He was immoral, amoral, and couldn't decide whether he was a male or female. Decided he wanted to be a Jehovah's Witness. And people, I hope you know about Jehovah's Witness. They do not believe Jesus is the Savior. They do not believe he's the Son of God. In fact, they do not believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not deity. There's some invisible force that's out there. To be saved in the Jehovah's Witness, nothing about faith in Jesus Christ, but you do have to be baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, and most have to earn their salvation by door-to-door work. That's what he converted to. And he's a hero of people? This man is sick. I hope you parents, whatever influence you can do, teaching your children who to admire and who to appreciate. There are too many Christians in the history of Christianity. And you can just read throughout church history and get it. Now, on that same motif, let me tell you what's coming up next Sunday. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, May 1st. We have communion that Sunday. But next Sunday, we have a memorable night, a day in this church history. When I was at the pastor's conference a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, in Houston, one night, a group of us went over to Robbie Dean's house, several pastors, and they started talking about their churches, how they do not have men qualified to take the pulpit or to send out somewhere. And I just remained quiet. One of them just finally asked me, "Do you have anyone?" And I said, "I have four. I have four men in a small assembly ready to teach the Word of God in churches around this country or anywhere else, not only my pulpit." And so next Sunday, we're going to have the graduation diploma of the three of these young men that are prepared now. We went through Mock's series in a Mock graduated from Dallas Seminary, and then he put together a series of books to train men to want to be pastors. And then he has another set for those that just want to serve the Lord in some other way. But we took the pastoral section, how to study the Bible, Old Testament introduction, New Testament, missionary, church history, on and on and on. And I think it was supposed to have been a year, and we took, what, four? Something like that. It must have been 2 years, but we stretched it out to four. But I tell you what, it was just amazing. Every Sunday after Sunday, these three men would come. And we lost some. We started off with a few more. But these three survived. So next Sunday morning, very special morning in this church's history. And so just want you to be aware of that. We got Chris Daig, Kit Shahan, and Ryan St. Clair. And we're going to recognize these three men. And the fourth one, you already know, is Phil McMillan. And so I'm very, very thankful. This church is small, but I want to tell you something. God's using it, people. The internet outreach, our young people outreach, missionary outreach. And I have to tell myself that occasionally. And past some church, it has 400, 500, 600 people. But I just remind it, hey, I'm doing my work, Herman, not you. And that's all I have to be prepared. And I'm as prepared for you as I would be for 5,000. And in fact, if it was 5,000, I'd probably have to water it down a little more. But we're going to celebrate them next Sunday. I wanted it to be Communion Sunday so that you can talk with them. What did you learn? So they might ask y'all, what y'all learned? So be ready to give some kind of answer. Please don't say nothing. And have a little fellowship time next Sunday. Yeah, we're going to have lunch. Yeah, bring, just like we normally do, our fellowship time together. And Gigi's going to fix up something special for us. Where is Gigi? Where'd he go? There he is, Gigi. He's going to fix up something special. So we're going to do that. Now, we're really losing time here. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Colossians 3. Now, we won't be in Colossians 3 for a while, but I want to just, by way of introduction this morning, to our special singing. Huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess we would need to do that so we can pay a few bills around here. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. That means, well, I'd really rather spend this money on something else, but I'll go ahead and give the $2 to the church and this kind of thing. Or necessity, well, if I don't, God will get me. But if I do, God will bless me. Don't turn God into a sugar daddy, people. That's not God. You do not pay off God. This is a privilege. It is a joy to take what we could spend on the material world and give to the spiritual world that goes on into eternity. What we spend on the material things, when we die, it's over. Your kids get it and they'll sell it. But what we give now and to the spiritual realm, that was supposed to have been funny. But what we do now, we are investing in eternity. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this assembly. We thank you for all the challenges you've given us. Not only here in the assembly itself, but in the outreaches that you've given to us. And therefore, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, would you please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And that's just a powerful statement as it stands. With all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, people, I understand music is personal. One type of music is one person and not another. Another person, another. And I just wonder if a lot of this stuff, and I call it stuff, that they call praise music, is going to be sung again 100 years from now. I seriously doubt it. But I'll tell you what will be sung if Christ tarries and the rapture doesn't occur in the next 6 days and 100 years. They will still be singing Isaac Watts, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, written in 1707. And the hymns that just edify and speak. Now, to our young people, I'm sorry that we just don't have drums and all of that here. And when I check out and go home, you can chunk the songbook and bring in something else. But as long as I'm the pastor, I want to pass on to the young people and everyone else hymns that are rich in message and in impact, and that we're going to be doing. Now, this morning, I'll tell you what, my introduction to what I want to say now, look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I don't know why more of you don't come on Wednesday night, but you're missing an unbelievable study in Isaiah 53. It is a gospel in the Old Testament, and one chapter. It is concerning the death and burial of our Savior Jesus Christ. This chapter is so powerful that in various Jewish publications, this chapter is left out. We saw this in our introduction of Isaiah 53. Left out. Jews do not like this chapter. And it has brought, in fact, we met one at the pastor's conference, brought to the Lord on this chapter. And they have to deal with it. They have to answer it. But I want you to look how marvelous this chapter is. Who has believed our Jewish message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, Jesus Christ, been revealed? For he grew up, he, Jesus Christ, the servant, grew up before him, God the Father, like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. That's Israel at the time of Christ's birth. He has no stately form or majesty. He didn't look like John Wayne or Arnold Schwarzenegger walking into the store that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Verse 3, here's your Savior now. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem that he was being despised for us. We thought he was being despised because he deserved it. Now verses 4 and 5. Truly, our griefs he himself bore. Now you have to, verses 4 and 5 are unbelievably rich. And I'll be very honest with you. If I was offered, and I thought about this. Prestonwood Baptist seating, 3,000 people are here. I would choose here. I want to tell you why. I could not do with 3,000 people what we did Wednesday night. We looked at all the different Hebrew stems in these two verses, the different words for sin in two verses. This is just a powerful passage. Look at it. Our griefs he bore. Our sorrows he carried away. He picked up and carried away. Our griefs of sin, our sorrows of sin. Yet we ourselves esteemed him. Now look at these three verbs. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's what happened to Christ on the cross. And people will tell you something. You take Psalm 50, Isaiah 53. Somebody wants to add works. You got to be moral. You got to be good. You got to go to church. You got to repent. You got to confess. You got to do this. You got to. They want to add works. Just read Isaiah 53. You want to add to stricken, smitten, and afflicted? You want to add to that for something, for salvation? No way. No way at all. Then verse 5 continues the verbs. Pierced through. And what does that mean? Pierced through his soul. This isn't talking about the spear pierced in his side. That didn't save us. He was pierced through his soul by God. Verse 10 of this very chapter. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And we're looking at the difference between transgressions and iniquities. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, another verb, we are healed. Now, this caused me, in my study, don't know how it happened, but on the internet, I found Thomas Kelly. Thomas Kelly was born in 1769, and he lived to 1855, lived a pretty good long life. He was born in Dublin, educated as a lawyer, very sharp young man, ready to enter the bar of law school as a lawyer, believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, changed his whole life. He became a preacher. And what you and I would call, and this is in my words, it's a word about him, an evangelical gospel. And he was prohibited teaching in the state church. They wouldn't let him even teach in any of their churches. Fine, he became a Bible teacher. Let's go out and find a place, hang up our shingle, invite people to come. And they came. And they came and they came. And other young men believed in his gospel that he taught, the gospel that we believe. Believe in Christ, thou shalt be saved. And became Bible teachers in Dublin area, teaching in unconsecrated places. I don't think this is a consecrated place. Unconsecrated places. Which, and a few other Bible-oriented pastors followed suit. Now, we know his theology from 765 hymns he wrote. Now, James Webb and Wes Tuttle are getting ready to sing and introduce the music to one of Thomas Kelly's hymns, and it is called Stricken, Smitten, Afflicted. And so James and Wesley are going to introduce this music. By the way, does anyone not have Christ in Colossians handout? Anyone not have it? Okay, so everyone has it. You'll find the words on the back two pages. The second to the last has your music with it if you're into reading music. If you're not just into singing words like me, you've got the last page. And you can read them. So what James is going to do, James is going to sing the first verse, and then he is going to ask you to stand and sing the first verse over again, and then verses 2 and 3. So James and Wes.
Wes is not going to sing.
Oh, okay.
Brian could sing. He's had this for a week. But I said, no, I want to do it. So. And so this is how it sounds, and then I'll stop and have you stand and sing with me.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see his dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. My soul, 'tis he.
Sing all three stanzas.
On the internet, you can read a lot of the other hymns he wrote and gather up his theology. There are no kept sermons that he preached, but we know what he believed by the hymns that he wrote. And you need a hero, there's your hero. Men like that in church history. And it's just amazing who we put up as heroes today who don't even come close to glorifying our Savior. I hope your parents will use that opportunity to teach your children, okay, admire this and have fun with that. I like Johnny Unitas and all of that. But the real heroes, people we want to emulate, those who glorified our Savior, those who understood. Now, before we end our study in the book of Colossians, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer, again, is very important. Test yourself. See if you're trusting the Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the men and women throughout church history. Many were martyred for Christ. Many who just given the opportunity to live their full life for Christ. And Father, they are the ones we imitate. They're the ones we respect. They're the ones we want to know more about. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for the book of Colossians. Pray now as we enter this great book that your Spirit will open our eyes to the quietness of a life in Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, we just finished 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians, concentrating and looking for all the passages that dealt with the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The book of Colossians is different. We're not looking for something like that. The whole book is on the person of Christ. So what I want to do this morning, by way of introduction, we're going to study the Colossians in a different way than we've studied other books. And So often when we go verse by verse, and I know you kid me, I go syllable by syllable, but that's okay. Whatever it is I go by, it takes a while. And we can get lost, and I understand that. That's why we did finish 1 Thessalonians. We read the whole 1 Thessalonians. Finished 2 Thessalonians, spent one morning just reading 2 Thessalonians. I don't want you to get lost in the verse-by-verse, word-by-word study of Colossians. All the way through, it's a glorification of Christ. And this is what I would like you to see, what we're doing. Jesus Christ is what this book is about. So let's take a look from Colossians 1 and just go through this book, see what we're going to be learning. Jesus Christ, the authority and purpose of living for all. Verses 1 and 2. Now, in seminary, I had outlined Colossians. I didn't do it this way. I've not found any book that did it this way. I'm not saying mine's better or anything. But I just want to make Christ the total issue in this book. So every section is centered on Christ. So like the first two verses, most people say a salutation. No, to me, it's Jesus Christ, the authority and purpose of living. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace and peace are from God, not from what you do. Prayer is the next section. Prayer begins with thanksgiving to God the Father, and then the place of Jesus Christ in prayer. Verses 3 through 11. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Motivation for prayer. Note the over and over repetition of Jesus Christ, He, Him. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Whose love is that? Love one another as I have loved you. Not human love, not flesh love. This is love of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next, prayer motivated by confidence in the future. Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you. Gospel is for both unbeliever and believer. In you also, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. I remember when we went to Billy Graham in 2000 in Amsterdam. Amsterdam 2000. And I was just blown away. The Billy Graham organist wrote us a letter asking us to come. They had X number of booths. And, of course, every organization in Christendom wanted to be there, but you had to have to be, you know, something special. They wrote us a letter. I had the letter. Ask us to come. Not only did they ask us to come, they had us at the very front. A booth that you could see when you walked in this way or walked in this way, and we have written up there, the gospel for Christians. Unbelievable number of people. What do you mean gospel for Christians? People, how you're saved is how you live. That's what we're going to see in Colossians 2:6. I don't know how you believe, how you feel with the Spirit, but if it's not by faith alone and the Holy Spirit alone, it's not according to the gospel. The gospel establishes how we're saved, how we live. So many wonderful things. And that's what he's saying here in these verses. Verse 6 now, which has come to you just as throughout the world. Now verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved brother fellow. We're going to learn about Epaphras, another great hero, bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ. People, I don't know what you would like to have said on your tombstone. If God could have on my tombstone a faithful servant of Christ, that's all I'd need. That would do me well. Doesn't have to be other things I did or anything. A faithful servant of the Lord. And I hope before we're through with this book, every one of you, that's what I want to set on my epitaph. That's what I want to set on my tombstone. Faithful servant of Christ. Beautiful, beautiful epitaph. And he also informed us of your love in the Holy Spirit. Now, seven petitions are for prayer, verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask. People, I don't understand if you don't have things to pray for. If you don't have anything else to pray for me and Judith. Pray for Spring Valley Bible Church. Pray for the youth program. Pray for the Dags and the Wises. Pray for it. If you don't have anything else to pray for, I'll give you a long list. A long list to pray for. All right, here. And by the way, remember, Paul's in prison. I mean, how many of us are going to think, you know, get me out of here, Lord? No, he's praying for other believers. And he hasn't even met these believers yet. This is what's amazing about a prayer warrior. Okay, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, since that day, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask, one, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, study of the Word of God. Two, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, we saw that same phrase in 1 Thessalonians. We'll see it again here. How do you walk worthy of the Lord? Three, to please Him in all respects. Please Him. Well, I want to please my wife. I want to please my husband. I want to please my children. I want to please them. Please Him. You please Him, you'll please your husband and your wife. You'll please others if you please Him. That's who you concentrate on. Four, bearing fruit in every good work. How do we bear fruit? And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened, six, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Who's that? It's the Holy Spirit. For the obtaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Okay, now next, abiding in Christ is the basis of rewards and inheritance in eternity. Verses 12 and 2:18. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Now, the incomparable Christ. Jesus Christ is salvation out from Satan's kingdom and transfers us into the kingdom of His Son. Verses 13 and 14. For He rescued us. Rescued us. That's the same concept we saw in the rapture. What's the rapture? He reaches down and gathers us up to Himself. Remember the Greek word? Gathers us to Himself. You don't like the word rapture? Gathers to Himself. So here He does. He rescues us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's going to take a little work. A lot of people don't think the kingdom's here today. So we'll have to find out what we believe in that regard. What does it mean? To the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All sins are forgiven on the cross, even of unbelievers. He is the Redeemer. Now, the person of Jesus Christ, He is the image, revealer of the invisible God, the embodiment of all divine fullness. Verse 15, one verse. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's who your Savior is, people. That's who He is. That's the one that we want to build our life around. He is the architect, creator, sustainer of the universe. Verses 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created. I'm sorry, young people that have to learn evolution in school. That's okay. Don't cause any trouble. Just sit there with a smile in your soul. No, I know who created this. I know. You can do whatever you want to say. I know where it came from. I know who holds it together. It's my Savior. All right. By Him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. People, He's responsible for the rise and fall of kings. We learned that in Daniel, our study of Daniel. I don't know what's going to happen in November, but I can tell you what, God knows. I'm not upset about it. I'm not upset about it. I don't care who's elected. God's the one in control. It's going to be the man that God, or the woman, or the person that God wants. Not who I want. See? And I'm at peace with that. Just go right on. It doesn't matter to you and me. The Sunday after election, back in Bible class study and worshiping with others. After the inauguration in January, back in Bible class worshiping with others. Living our life for Christ. That's what we live for. Not as a Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian. I used to be a libertarian. Or a libertarian. We're here as Christians to glorify Christ. Verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. We've got some beautiful things to study. Next, He is the architect, creator, and sustainer of the universe. Verse 16, For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And people, that means your life. Next, He is the head of all things, especially the church, which means He is the authority of our lives. Verse 18, He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Does He have first place in your life? Does He really? Do you experience sad, stress, anxiety, depression? Shame on you. Is He the first thing in your life? That's a powerful phrase. Will come to have first place in everything. People, you get to decide who's first place in your life. You may not get to decide who's going to be president, who's going to be senator, even who's going to be mayor. But you do have a decision. Who's going to be first place in my life? Every day, whether it's good things happening or bad things happening. Next, Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. He is the source of Christian life, joy, and peace. Verse 20, And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Got to study the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, now He's become the center of your life. He is the rewarder of all believers who abide in Him, prepares you for the judgment seat of Christ. 2 weeks ago, my first study on Colossians was getting ready for the judgment seat of Christ. This book will help you get ready. And as we saw in 1 John, many believers are going to feel some shame standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And it will not be shame because of sins. Sins are taken care of on the cross. But because you did not make Him first place. You did not abide in Him. You did not grow in the knowledge of Christ. But let's take a look now in the rewarder. Verse 22. Yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him, God the Father, holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in faith firmly, established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and which I, Paul, was made a minister. People, if you believed in Christ, you're in. You're in. I love to talk to people who think they can lose their salvation. And I don't believe all that stuff anymore. Well, I got bad news for you. You're going to be in heaven. I got just bad news. You're going to be there. See? And I got even worse news than that. You're going to love it. See? As opposed to the alternative. See? He is our hope. He is. But what's important is what happens. We all live for the rapture. Boy, the rapture, boom, boom, come take up. Man, a great day. I wish the rapture had come today. My life's getting so bad. The rapture is not an escape for bad decisions. That's what the Word of God is for. That's what the Spirit-filled life is for. But what happens right after the rapture? Judgment seat of Christ. You're going to stand individually, not your husband, not your wife, not your parents, not your preacher. You will stand face to face with the Lord. and he will judge whether or not he abided in you. All right? The church is his body. Next page. The church is his body. We are to serve one another. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. This is Paul speaking. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. We'll have to find out what that means. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Next, he is the mystery, hidden. Verse 26, that is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That's you. To his saints. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? Christ in you. The hope, the confidence of glory. He is the message which we have preached, which we have for the world. His wisdom. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Are you complete in Christ? That's what this church is about. Next, he has sent us his power, the Holy Spirit. Verse 29. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, his Jesus Christ power, which mightily works within me. You know how to be filled with the Spirit? You better. Okay? Another brief outline of chapter 1, another way of looking at it. Three hindrances to the satanic counterattack. Prayer in the name or the authority of God, taking us out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, abiding in Christ. Now let's go to chapter 2. Jesus Christ is God's mystery and all the treasures of true wisdom. Verses 1 through 3. Verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea. For all those who have not personally seen my face. That's these believers in Colossae. That their hearts may be encouraged. Having been knit together in love, attaining to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ in you, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People, you go to these bookstores now, a book for people in their 17s, in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s. It's Jesus Christ. All ages, whatever age you are, whatever sex you are, wherever you're going through in life, he is the answer. Do you believe that or not? He is sufficient. Gospel for Christians, verses 4 and 5. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. People, it is amazing through church history how many false teachers have come along who manipulate the scriptures, twist the scriptures to fit their own agenda. Be so careful who you listen to. I'll say that over and over. Be careful who you listen to. They may say gospel, grace, Christ, love, faith, but what do they mean? What do they mean? It is amazing how people care about the doctor they get for their heart, for their liver, for their lungs, for their everything else they have, their teeth. And then just go sit in any church and let them open up their soul and pour in untruth. Be careful who you listen to. Okay, I say, verse 4, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. And they are persuasive. Even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and stability of your faith in Christ. Gospel is for Christians. Our faith in Jesus Christ, by the way, talking about offering. Jim Langston and I, and talking, we want to get the gospel for Christians, we're about out. We have one disciple in Houston, Gary Weber. I mean, that guy's all, send me 50 more. We don't have 50 more. Well, send me 10 more. And then next month, send me 50. We don't have 50 more. We have 10 more. We're going to try. We're looking right now where we can get them printed, how we can get them printed up at the best price. And because we're out. It's a great book, but we're out. It's used on mission fields in Peru and the Philippines. It's used. We're out. We're going to have to get it printed up. Okay. Now, next, our faith in Jesus Christ is a pattern of our faith in the Holy Spirit. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Christ as Lord? By faith. How you filled with the Spirit? By faith. Who did God send for your salvation? Jesus Christ. Who did God send for your spirituality? The Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Verse 7. Having been firmly rooted by faith in Christ, and now being built up in Him by faith in the Holy Spirit, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord for things you learn of His Word, of His Son. All right. Legalism is avoided by staying focused on Christ. You want to stay focused on not being a legalist? Stay focused on Christ, keeping your eyes on Jesus. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Knowledge of Jesus Christ is the knowing of deity. Verse 9, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Now, when we study this, I'm going to show you how often Paul wants to make sure you understand Jesus Christ is our understanding of the Father. You want to correctly understand Jesus if you want to correctly understand the Father. That's where the disciples failed. Show us the Father. And Christ said, look, you knuckleheads, don't you understand? You've been with Me. If you know Me and see Me, you know Him and see Him. So many people have a false view of the Father. They have a false view of Christ. Knowledge of Christ is the knowing of deity. Next, Jesus Christ is the full and final authority. Verse 10, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. So for every authority in your own life. Next, every believer of the church age is sanctified in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ took away the law at the cross. The law took it away. 13 and 14. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all transgressions, having concealed all the certificate that canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. That's the Mosaic Law, which was hostile to us. The law kills. And He has taken it away, out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus Christ has already won the angelic conflict, which we study a lot here, securing us victory in the angelic conflict. Verse 15, when He had disarmed the rulers and authorities. People, do you realize, with that one phrase, I could spend a year. That one phrase, I won't, but I could. That's the angelic conflict. That's a good year study. All right. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. In Christ is the removal of all legalism, or securing victory over Satan's counterattack of legalism. Verse 16, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. People don't let people judge you and control you with their legalism. Yes, spiritual love. Spiritual love is aware. I don't want to offend people that are on this journey. But don't let the weak control you. We'll study this. Now, abiding in Jesus Christ is the only preparation for the judgment seat of Christ. Verses 18 and 19. Let no one keep defrauding you. And many pastors defraud from the pulpit. Of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. All legalism and asceticism is removed by our position in Christ. Verse 20, if you have died to Christ, or actually since, first class condition, since you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? We're not talking about morality. We're talking about legalism, which all refer to things destined to perish with its use. In accordance with the commandments and teachings of men, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, self-abasement, severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. People, we've got to know how to live the Christian life. Chapter 3. Now, one of the fun things I'm going to show you in the study of Colossians, the use of the imperative mood. The use of the, where it does not occur. Chapter 3 begins the use of the imperative mood now. It occurs twice in chapter 2, but chapter 3 is where it begins. All right. The effect of position in Christ, living for Christ, being in Jesus Christ should determine your priorities in life. What is going on in the heavens directly affects you, how you live on earth. Verse 1, therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And people, we have to do this every morning because we have TV, we have movies, we have the newspaper, we have radio, television, we have on it just blatant with billboards. It takes a conscious work to keep your eyes on above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You've got to work at it. It's not easy. Things that are valuable are not easy. Let me tell you one of the wonderful things. As most of you know, I got married late in life, 67 years old. It's not easy. I used to just get up, didn't care about anything. Didn't have to worry about anything. Didn't have to worry about my toothbrush or my toothpaste or my shoes or my underwear. Nothing. Now, hold on there. Now, you've got to live in respect and love of a wonderful woman. It takes work to live your life for Christ, people. The flesh nature is against it. Your flesh nature is against living your life for Christ. You've got to constantly be aware of your filling of the Holy Spirit. So, keep seeking the things, verse 1, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Note where the comma is. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. People, and I mean this, I say it in here, but I mean it. I wish for every hour, every 5 minutes somebody spends on Facebook, they spend 10 minutes on the book. I believe that. You spend 10 minutes in Facebook, you ought to spend 20 minutes in the book. That's where you're going to be edified, not where somebody glorifies themselves. Spend it where Christ is glorified. Okay, I'm still preaching there. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You will be with Jesus Christ for all eternity and ultimate sanctification. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. That's when you'll be revealed. Your position in Christ guides you, guides your morality, not determined by man's the statistics by man, where adultery is okay, fornication is okay, all these things are okay. Not for you and me. Maybe for the world, that's fine. Not here to even judge them. But not for you and me. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. What does that mean? Impurity. What is it? What's the difference between immorality and impurity? Passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. All right, Jesus Christ changes how we live from day to day. Verses 8 through 11. Verse 8, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. How many of you slander one another believer? Gossip about another believer. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Satan is the father of liars. Verse 10. And it put on a new self. That's from your faith in Christ, being born again, born from above, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, God the Father. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And that's all that we see. That's all you should see of another believer. They're in Christ. Jesus Christ's love for you establishes how you are to love and forgive one another. Verses 12 and 13 are seven fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now I've listed them for you. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's you, may not feel holy sometime, but you're holy and you're beloved. Put on a heart by the filling of the Spirit, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, these are the fruit of the Spirit, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Christ is the pattern of how we are to love one another. Verse 14, beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Christ is our peace in this life and grounds of thanksgiving. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I hope in one way that you never have to. In another way, I hope you do. I hope at some point in your life, if you haven't been there, that you get down on your knees and say, Father, I just need peace. I'm not even asking for happiness. Just give me some peace in my soul. It's when you reach that point with David, King David, in some of the Psalms, that you'll understand how Jesus Christ is your peace. How He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. We're going to learn a lot about Jesus Christ in this study. Christ is our peace in this life and grounds of thanksgiving. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful for that peace. Spiritual growth is from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this knowledge not only prepares you for the judgment seat of Christ, but also makes for a rich life here on earth, living with one another. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. And we'll see what that means. With all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I have a lot I want to say about that. And people, this is where you got to learn about each other. If you want to admonish someone, encourage someone, what kind of music is Christian music do they like? See? Do they like? I saw the light. How can you refuse him now? The old rugged cross. These wonderful hymns. I like that. Or do they like more modern praise music? Music can stimulate the soul to Christ. 2 weeks ago, my wife was with a member of our family, going through some really rough times. This believer in our family didn't want to hear the Bible. So my wife did a wonderful thing. She just put on gospel music. They had to drive for several hours. She just put on gospel music. And the other family member just relaxed. No issues were made. It was beautiful. And I saw that's one thing this verse means. That's how you do it. You can't talk to someone about God. Just play some wonderful hymn. Something beautiful that they can appreciate. This is the beautiful part of that. We'll kind of spend some time there. Now, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the pattern for our relationships in life. Verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, he's a bum. What do you mean be submissive to him? He's a bum. It didn't say as long as he's not a bum. It says submissive. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Yeah, but he wasn't married to my wife. See, you can't counter with those kind of sarcastic statements. This is the Word of God. Why? This is a relationship with Christ establishes your relationship with others. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents. Oh, yeah, right. See, in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. You're exasperating me. See, we got to be careful how we use this word. Be exasperating to your children so that they will not lose heart. And that's in their relationship with the Lord. Slaves or servants, in all things, obey your boss. Those who are masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of the heart, fearing the Lord. We'll see what all of that means. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men. Jesus Christ is the foundation of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ and our inheritance in eternity. Verse 24. Knowing, how do you know? By the study of His Word. From the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Now we come to chapter 4, very simple chapter. Masters, continuing what he's doing in chapter 3, it's a bad place for a chapter break. Masters, grant to your slaves, your servants, justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Our prayer life should be motivated by telling others of the mystery of Christ. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word. So, people, I'm going to just paraphrase this. Be in prayer for the days and the while for this camp coming up. This is what they need prayer for. That the door of the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ to these young people, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear the way I ought to speak. They need your prayer. I know they need your prayer. I need your prayer. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, I need your prayer. I don't want to speak from the flesh. I want to speak from the Spirit. Knowledge that He gives me. My friend John Hens, pastor in Tucson, most of you know, he loves to kid me. I don't think I could just get up here and preach out. He can. He does. And I tell him, well, he says, you just don't trust the Spirit. I said, no. I trust the Spirit when I'm sitting at my desk that he'll tell me what he wants me to say. And then when I stand up before people, that's what I want to stay with. He goes, oh, it doesn't work that way. Okay. Now, our witness of Jesus Christ should determine how we interact with others. Conduct yourselves in a grocery store, work, social, wherever you are, with wisdom toward outsiders, unbelievers, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You don't have one set of things. Did this preacher say another preacher say something else? As a witness of Jesus Christ, everyone needs encouragement, people. I need it. My wife needs it. Your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, they all need it. Let's take a look. Verse 7. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our brother, beloved brother, faithful servant, fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is the one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings. He's in prison. These are people he's meeting with. He's conducting business in prison. I don't have time to be out of this prison. God wants me to write books in his prison. God wants me to meet people in his prison. God wants me to get there. Don't let me out yet. I got things to do yet in my office. See? That's what has happened. That's the way you look at life. The world may hand you a lemon. Just, hey, wait a minute. This is my opportunity. I got things to do here. God didn't put me here in an accident. So this is what Paul is. Verse 11. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they, that means they're Jewish, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Paul needs encouragement. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. For I testify for him that he has deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. We'll study a little bit about those cities. Luke, the beloved physician, this is the Luke that walked with our Lord, send you his greetings. Also, Demas, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha and the church that is in her house, her home. She has church, a wonderful woman. Share with others what you're learning about Jesus Christ. Verses 16 and 18. What we do here is not just for you. It's for you to share with others. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodicea. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. People, that's what I want you to pray for these three men next week, including Phil. So we'll say these four men next week. Would you pray? God has something for them to do now. I don't want them to leave. My goodness, if all four left, it'd cut our congregation attendance down to half. See? But if the Lord's going to use them, they're going to go somewhere. They're going to serve the Lord. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God will get them where he wants them, where they can be used of God. Not just sitting here. I love them here. I hope they want to be here and learn. But their time is coming. Go out. Do their own study. Do their own teaching. Verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting to you in my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you all. Okay. Next Sunday, well, not next Sunday, because next Sunday is going to be a special day in our church where we commemorate these three men. And I'm going to have Phil, who is the fourth one, be a part of up here with me. And it's going to be a great Sunday next Sunday, congratulating these three men and just waiting to see what God is going to do in their lives. But 2 weeks from now, we'll start with Colossians 1:1 and work our way through the study of Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. I do apologize taking you over 12. I hope you're not late at your restaurant and somebody gets your table. But we'll just see how that goes. Heavenly Father, wow, what a letter. What a relationship Paul had with our Lord. I want that. We want that. We lust after that kind of relationship with Christ. And what is so wonderful, we can have it. Every one of us, each one of us can abide in Christ. Make Him our total existence. I pray, Father, You'll guide me over these next few months, the study of this great book. Say the things we need to hear to make Christ the issue in our life. That Heavenly Father, we may tell others of Him. And that we will not even have to tell them. They'll know something special about us. The love that flows through from Your Spirit. Father, I pray You take the things as we saw this morning as an overview. Use it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.